Welcome to the Power Academy podcast. Join a global community of believers who are switching on their faith.
So today I'm going to be teaching on how to hear the voice of God, part two. Last Power Academy was part one. This is part two of how to hear the voice of God. You know, hearing God's voice clearly is so important in the Christian life. It's really key to you walking in the things of God. Amen. The things that you need from God. So last Power Academy, just to give you a quick summary, a quick overview, if you like, we looked at the key verse, John 10:27. John 10:27 was our key verse from Power Academy 2 weeks ago. And that is how to hear the voice of God, lesson one. This is for how to hear the voice of God, part two. And in John 10:27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." So he gives us a promise right there. My sheep hear my voice. If you've committed your life to Jesus, then you are his sheep. Jesus is your shepherd. You're his sheep. He's the shepherd. Simple as that. And he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me." So he's guaranteeing there. He said, you know what? If you're my sheep, you're going to hear my voice. Mm-hmm. That right there. So the first thing you need to realize is you can hear God's voice. Hearing God's voice is very possible for you. In fact, it's the normal Christian life.
That's a great confession.
I can hear God's voice. That's a great confession. If you want, you could type that in right now if you want. I can hear God's voice. So that's a great confession. So you can hear God's voice. We looked at different ways you can hear God's voice, okay? So we looked at the Word of God. The Word of God is probably the clearest and definitely the safest, most secure way you're going to hear God speaking to you. I heard someone the other day say, we read the Word until the Word speaks to us. Right. And the Word is living. It's not like any other book. The Scriptures are alive. They're living. You know, in John 1, it says that the Word became flesh. Jesus and the Word are one. The Word of God is how God speaks to us, and it's always going to be accurate. It's, you know, the Word. So the Word's the first one. We looked at audible voice. It's rare. Only some people hear God's audible voice. It's not any more special. In fact, it's less important than the Word. But it's one way that God can speak to us is through an audible voice. People can speak to us. So God can use people to speak to us. We have to be careful, though, because also the devil can use people to speak to us, right? The devil used Peter to speak to Jesus and tempted him not to go to the cross. And that's when Jesus had to turn around and say, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You know, he called Peter Satan right there. So he can use people. He can use circumstances. Sometimes circumstances, again, but circumstances, you can't rely on them. A lot of the time, circumstances come against us because we're doing the right thing. Dreams and visions. We can have dreams and visions. Your old men will have dreams and young men will have visions. Dreams and visions. God can speak to you through dreams in the night, through visions, through open visions and things like that. Spirit to spirit, the still small voice. Desires is another way. God can speak to us through our desires. Yep. If you delight yourself in the Lord, you know, Psalm 37 verse 4 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's a contingent. You have to be delighting yourself in the Lord. But if you delight yourself in the Lord and you are spending time with him and you're focused on him, he will give you desires and you can basically do whatever you want to do. He will give you desires from your spirit, godly desires, and he'll lead you by desires. And sometimes you can have things where you used to love doing a certain thing and all of a sudden you just lost the desire for that. He turned your heart. He could turn people's hearts. So you need to listen to your desires if you're abiding in him and his words abide in you. So you have to make sure you delight in yourself in the Lord. And the last one we looked at from last Power Academy was spirit to spirit, the still small voice. God speaks to us through a still small voice. Yep. We use the example of Elijah and talking about how, you know, God came, and there was an earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. There was a mighty rushing wind like a tornado. God wasn't in the tornado, but then a still small voice.
Yep.
And that was from 1 Kings 19, the still small voice. So that's where we left off last week, the different ways God speaks to us. And we basically said the Word of God and the Spirit of God are the two most secure ways that God will speak to us, through the Word and through that inner witness, through that still small voice.
Amen.
So today we're going to look at a little bit of practical ways how we can hear God's voice clearer, how we can test whether it's God or whether it's our own flesh or whether it's the devil or whether it's too much cheese pizza. You know, how we can prove if it's God or not more accurately. But the first thing I want to look at is the still small voice. What does it sound like? What does it mean? The still small voice. So the still small voice of God, that's saying God speaking to you in your spirit. Okay, I've got a few things here. The first thing is the still small voice of God or the Spirit of God speaking to you often sounds like you.
Yep.
It sounds like you, right? Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17 says, you are one spirit of the Lord. So it's hard to tell, or impossible to tell, really, where God's spirit ends and your spirit starts, right? When you get born again, when you become a believer in Jesus, when you get born again, your spirit becomes brand new. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, all things are made new. Your spirit becomes brand new. You become spiritually alive. And in your spirit, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, as he is, as Jesus is, so are you in this world.
Right.
So in your spirit, you become identical to Jesus.
Right.
Isn't that neat? So you become one spirit of the Lord. So you can't tell where God's spirit ends and your spirit starts. That's why when God speaks to you through his spirit, it sounds like you. And we can miss this a lot, can't we? Because we think it's just us, our own thoughts, right, our own thinking. And we can actually discount God speaking to us. Think, oh, that's just me. I'm just making that up. That's just my own thoughts. But it can be God. So it's important to know that. The second thing I've got here is it can often feel like a hunch or a feeling or, like a gut sense. Some people call it intuition. Mm-hmm. That can often be God speaking to us.
Inner
witness. That could be God speaking to us. Now, sometimes it could be paranoia. Sometimes it could be, but a lot of the time that could be, if you had that gut feeling, I call it in your knower. If you know in your knower, if you know deep down, you have this gut feeling. Mm-hmm. Even when everything looks good on the surface and logically it all works out, you think this is going to be great. There's no problem here. But you had that inner witness. You had that gut feeling like there's something not right. You had that check in your spirit.
John puts it this way. He says that we have an unction from the Holy mm-hmm. One, an unction, and we can know all things.
This is in
1 John.
Yep.
You know, and so we have that ability. You know, we have the mind of Christ.
Come on.
Right? So we can we can hear God on the inside of us, but God's voice on the inside of us sounds
powerful.
Like us.
1 John 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter mm-hmm. 2, verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Mm. That's a great confession as well. So I have an anointing from the Holy One and I know all things. You have the mind of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit can talk to you and you know all things by the Spirit.
Yep.
You don't know all things in your natural mind. You don't know all things in your soul.
It's not talking about your intellect.
It's not talking about your soul. It's not talking about any of that, you know. It's talking about in your spirit. You know all things. You have the mind of Christ in your spirit, praise the Lord. And that's how that works. So it could be a hunch or a feeling, gut feeling, intuition, things like that. Even like your conscience. Mm-hmm. It can feel like your conscience, but it can often be God speaking to you. The third thing I've got here is a still small voice. It could be a picture or an impression, almost like in your mind's eye. You'll just see something. You'll have imagination, a thought or a picture or an imagination. Some people could start saying their visions. It depends how deep that goes. But sometimes you just have like a picture of something randomly out of the blue, right?
Right. And there's categories of that, right? So you can have dreams or visions. Dreams are being when you're asleep, mm-hmm. right? And you literally have a dream. And for me, one way that I know the difference between just too much cheese pizza or actually God speaking to me is that dream is really vivid.
It's a vivid dream.
It has a different, for me, anyway, it has a different tone. It's very, I remember the details. Whereas oftentimes I dream and I won't even remember it.
Okay.
You know, but then you can have visions during the day where you're fully conscious, you're not sleeping, but you'll see things moving or interacting with the world around you.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So it's more vivid if it's God. And you can't trust dreams, right? If you have a dream, you can't trust that it's God. You have to prove that and make sure it is God, because sometimes it can just be your own soul giving that dream. Sometimes it can be the devil, but often God will speak to you through dreams. And then when you're awake, a vision, when you're awake, you have a picture, you maybe you're praying for someone. I've had this a lot when I've been praying for someone. I just had this picture and it's like, I just had this picture. I remember one time I was praying with this lady. I had this picture of her in a school playground on a set of swings with bullies around her. And I described her the picture, and I'd never met her before in my life. I was just praying for her. And she was like, that is exactly what happened to me, she said, when she was 10 years old or whatever. And I even told her the color of the swing sets and everything. She said, that is exactly what happened. I had like a vision. I had a picture of her. You could say that was a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge, because it's the past. It was the past or the present spiritual gift in operation there. But God was speaking to me, and that set her free because He told me some things about her that really set her free and really helped her.
But you didn't see it with your natural eyes.
No, it's just like a picture in my head. It's hard to explain, but I'm still looking.
Your imagination.
Yeah, I'm still looking, but then you just see something in your imagination. Yeah, you can. Imagination's huge. We might have to teach this another time about the power of imagination, because if you can't imagine it, you can't go there. Mm-hmm. Which really helps in two areas. One, in the conquest over sin. And you know, getting off track, because if you can't imagine it, you can't go there. So you have to imagine it first. James talks about how sin first is conceived.
Yep.
We have to conceive sin with a thought, and then that thought has to take root, and then we have to meditate on that thought. And we have to imagine ourselves going there, and then we can go there. If you get rid of the thought, if you get rid of the seed, then you can't go there. You can't do something physically. You can't go there and do that sin if you haven't thought about it first. But then in the positive side of this, faith works like this. If you want to believe God for something and receive something, you have to have that thought about believing it. Then you have to see yourself receiving it. Imagine yourself receiving it. That's what Jesus said. When you pray, imagine that you've already received it.
Yeah.
Basically, give thanks like you've already received it. And when you do that, what happens is you start seeing yourself. Your imagination is so powerful. You start seeing yourself with that, and then you're able to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
So imagination is huge. And,
and
you've got an imagination, whether you know it or not. You've got an imagination. If I asked you right now to describe your house to me, or your apartment or where you live, you could tell me about that, even though you might not be there right now. If I told you, what's your kitchen like? or what's your vehicle like, mm-hmm. or you know, you could tell me about them things, and you're seeing a picture of that vehicle, you're seeing a picture of that kitchen, or you're seeing a picture of that. What's your workplace like? You could tell me, well, I have a desk,
you
I have a window.
You could draw it if we had to.
You could tell me about it, yeah. Now, you're seeing it in your mind's eye. You're seeing that because you've seen it, and now you're recalling that to your imagination. So you can actually imagine and use your imagination. Yep. It's powerful, praise God, when you use your imagination. So, and then the fourth thing I've got here is it could be often like a check in your spirit. It could be an unsettling. It could be something, we're talking about God's still small voice, his spirit to spirit, speaking to us spirit to spirit. It could be an unsettling. It could be a check in your spirit. It could be like you're not sure about something, a little bit like a hunch, but negative, and you think, that's not right, I'm not going to do that. And these are the ways that God's spirit speaks to us.
You know, you're talking about a check in the spirit, mm-hmm. or even like a negative feeling. Sometimes, you know, God leads us with peace, right? The Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. So yep. He'll lead us with peace. In Colossians, it says, let peace be your umpire.
Yep.
I think it's in Colossians.
It's in Ephesians. I'm going to look at that.
Let peace be your umpire. Mm-hmm. And that word, it's talking about let it rule and reign.
Yep.
And so just that absence of peace,
yep.
you know, it's not necessarily always a negative.
Just not having peace.
Just like that, that unsettling, like peace mm-hmm. just kind of up and left,
yep.
right? And that helps me to make decisions. Anyway.
Yeah, it really does. You have to be led by peace. Mm-hmm. We're going to look at that in a little while about how you can tell whether it's God or not. So those things there are some of the ways that God's spirit speaks to us. One of the main things I want to tell you, though, is when God's spirit speaks to us, because mm-hmm. you're one spirit of the Lord, it often sounds like you, and we can discount that. God's a humble God. He appears to us humbly, usually. And we can often discount it. It's like, that's just me. I'm just making out. That's just me. And we need to realize, no, often that is God speaking to us. He very rarely speaks to us through a third person. Very rarely speaks to us from an audible voice. It's always an inner witness, and that means it can sound like us, meaning that sometimes we can miss it because we feel like, oh, that's just me, that's just my imagination, I'm just making it up. So you have to realize that, and have to realize, you know what, no, that is often God speaking to you when that happens, praise the Lord. So how to know if it's God speaking to you? So I've got some questions here you can ask yourself. Mm-hmm. You can say, okay, how do I know if it's God speaking to me, or is this just my imagination, or if it's the devil or my flesh or whatever? So here's some things you can go through, and you'll get these notes if you enroll in Power Academy. Mm-hmm. Once you've enrolled once, that's all you have to do. If you've enrolled in Power Academy, then you'll get these notes automatically sent to you. You'll get these on the Power Academy
the
when you log
platform.
In. Yeah, when you log into the learning platform, the notes will be right there. The first question I've got here, if God's speaking to you, the first question you can ask yourself is, does it line up with Scripture? This is so important. Does it line up with the Word of God? God will never contradict His Word. So if you feel that God's saying to you, you know, I feel like God's telling me to stop giving, or I feel like God's telling me to stop reading the Word. I actually had someone say to me once, God's told me to stop reading His Word. I was like, no, He didn't. That's not God. You know, God's told me to divorce my wife. And
people
I'm like,
use
no.
this as an excuse for all sorts of things.
Come on,
like
the God card.
God told me to go and run off with this woman.
Yeah.
You know, and usually it's our feelings, actually, yeah. our emotions that are mm-hmm. leading us that way. Because like Ashley's saying, God isn't going to contradict His Word.
Come on.
And our feelings don't supersede the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? But sometimes our emotions can be so strong on the inside
yeah.
that they are the predominant driving force. And mm-hmm. then we try and find a scripture
to back up
our feelings and emotions,
oh, yeah.
you know, trying to get God to
that.
Side with us, right?
I've done that before. I've convinced myself this has got to be God, and I've got some scriptures, and then I go around telling people, and Carly knows, I'm trying to convince people. Like, you don't have to convince people if God's speaking to you. So the first question you have to ask yourself is, does it line up with Scripture? A few verses mm-hmm. I've got here is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says, He upholds all things by His word. All things are held together by His word. In fact, you know, they know there's something holding, an invisible force holding atoms together, right? And they don't really know what it is. It's an invisible force. That's God's word. If God contradicts His word, literally the whole universe would explode. What's holding the universe together is God's word. He created the universe with words. He spoke, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke things into existence, and they held together. If God contradicts His word, if God's word wasn't good, if you like,
right.
then the whole world would fall apart. So God will never contradict His word. Psalm 138 verse 2 says, You have magnified your word above all your name.
Yeah.
Psalm 138:2. You have magnified your word above all your name. Now, some people get freaked out by this. Well, the name of Jesus is the name above every name. I understand that. But here's the deal. God's word, first of all, God's word and Jesus are one. In John 1, it says the word became flesh. So it's easy to reconcile this. In fact, in Revelation 19:13, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, it says, His name is called the Word of God. talking about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, Revelations 19, mm-hmm. verse 13. So I've got no problem with this because I can reconcile it that Jesus and the Word are one anyway. But basically what this verse is saying is, you know what, God's Word is above even His own name in terms of His authority. His Word is His final authority. God's Word is His final authority. God's Word and Himself are one, and that's His final authority, meaning He's not going to do anything above His Word. He's not going to contradict His Word. He's not really going to do anything outside of His Word. Everything He does is in His Word. Mm-hmm. Praise God. I'm telling you, this is powerful. So ask yourself the first question. If you feel like God's speaking to you, the first thing you've got to decide is, does it line up with the Word? If it doesn't line up with Scripture, if it's outside of the Scripture, then now it might be like, do you buy this house or do you buy that house? Or do you move to this town or move to that town? That's not going to be in the Word. But if it's something like, go and rob a bank, the Lord's told me to provide.
Some things are obvious.
He's going to provide my needs by robbing a bank. We know that is not God. Okay?
Yeah, and I just want to give you this little disclaimer here. But anyone that is more focused on spiritual gifts than on the Word of God is liable to get off balance very quickly.
Oh, come on, Carly.
Okay. So and you see more of the abuse of spiritual gifts in the realm of prophetic ministry. Mm-hmm. Just demonstration, mm-hmm. hearing from God, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, dreams and visions.
Come on.
You know, because, you know, it's the spiritual gifts that people are drawn to, and they're valuable, and they're a huge part of what God is doing.
Yeah,
and
we love them.
We've taught in this course on spiritual gifts. We operate in spiritual gifts every day. But for some people, they become an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Come on, Carly.
And there's a danger there, because anyone that is more drawn to spiritual gifts than they are with the Word of God is going to get off balance with them very quickly, and they're going to be vulnerable to be manipulated by the realm of emotion, of showboating, of putting on a performance, right, rather than a relationship that's based upon the Word of God. So God is always going to validate His Word. He's not going to contradict His Word in any way. And the Word of God is valuable as well, because it's a way that we can measure. It's our benchmark for the things of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we know things that happen in the spirit realm with the Holy Spirit, but also in the negative side of the spirit realm, which is the power of the enemy. Mm-hmm. But the Word of God can be is our safety measure.
Come
it's
on.
Our God, our benchmark to know
authority.
Which spirit is operating there. We can find the answer
so
to that in the foundation
the plumb
of the Word
line.
Of God.
It's the plumb line. It's so good, praise God. So the Word of God is so important. Mm. The second thing I've got here is, do you have spiritual peace? This is like Carly was talking about earlier. Okay, we're talking about when you think God's speaking to you, the questions you ask yourself to know whether it's God or not. Do you have spiritual peace? We're not talking about flesh peace. Your flesh can be freaking out. There's been times, especially when it comes to giving finances, there's been times when God has spoken to me about give this amount of money. You know, the first time He asked me, told me to give $1,000, I was like, my flesh was freaking out. The first time He asked us to give $10,000, my flesh was freaking out. I'm telling you, when God speaks to you about things like that, you're not going to have peace in your flesh. You probably won't have peace in your soul. But do you have spiritual peace? Do you have spiritual peace?
Yeah.
And the verse you're looking for, I apologize, Carly, it was correct. It is Colossians. I thought it was Ephesians. You are correct. I stand corrected. Mark this
Mark
moment.
It down.
You are right. I am wrong. I repent of me correcting you about that verse. The verse is Colossians 3:15. Colossians verse 3, chapter 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Mm-hmm. Colossians 3, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. In the Amplified, it says, let the peace of God umpire continually. Be your umpire continually. An umpire makes a call, right? It says that's in or out, or that's fair or not, or that's a bull or no bull, whatever they say.
Yep.
An umpire rules, and let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God say, no, this is not God. Yep, this is God. Let the peace of God umpire. And this is what I do sometimes. I think about myself doing what God's told me to do. So if I say, okay, I think God's telling me to do this. I think God's telling me to move here. I think God's telling me to do this. I think God's telling me to go ahead with this contract. Then I get still and I think about doing that. Okay, I see myself doing that. Do I have spiritual peace? I pray in the Holy Ghost and I think, okay, do I have spiritual peace about this? Spiritual peace is very, very important.
Never
neglect that unrest if it's spiritual unrest.
And you know what? You have to fight. You have to contend to stay in the peace of God.
Yep.
And that word umpire or rule, it means to settle with finality all questions.
Oh, come on.
Okay.
Bam.
So if you have doubt, if you're struggling with unbelief in a certain area, or you just don't know how to make a decision,
right?
The peace of God will settle with finality all those questions and cause faith to arise on the inside of you. So contend for peace. Amen. Yeah. Content, fight for it. Make decisions that are going to draw you into that peace.
Spiritual peace. Yep. And if you don't have spiritual peace, do not move. Don't make a decision. Don't be pushed into something. If you don't have spiritual peace, I remember one time we was asked to do a series of events and a conference in a certain place. And I said yes, but right after I said yes, I didn't have spiritual peace. Now, everything else in the natural, it lined up with our schedule. It seemed good for our ministry. It seemed on track with our vision. It was on track with our goals, this, that, and the other. People recommended these people that it's going to be okay. But I didn't have spiritual peace. And it kept building and building to the point where every time I prayed in tongues and thought about going to this place to minister, I really was in unrest.
You didn't have a desire to go.
I didn't have a desire to go. The desire was gone, but I had unrest. In the end, the Lord almost shouted at me one time. I remember him saying, you need to cancel that appointment. I hate to go back on my word. I hate to do that. It was about 6 months out, so I gave him lots of notice. But I called them and I said, I'm really sorry. I can't explain it, but I don't have peace about coming here. Now, most churches or ministries we go to, if you say something like that, they'll understand. Okay, that's fine. This person got so mad at me.
They took it personally.
They got mad at me and said, threatened me with telling other people and this and that. And I said, I'm really sorry. It's the Holy Spirit. I believe it's the Holy Spirit telling me it's not the right time for me to come. I don't know why. I can't explain it. So if you don't now, afterwards, I realized why. There was a very good reason why we shouldn't have gone there.
And their response, you know, the minute
confirmed
you,
that, yeah.
Yeah, this is interesting, isn't it? Because people will try and manipulate you
come on.
By making you make a snap decision on something.
Putting pressure on you.
Put pressure on you. You've got to make this decision now. And then they'll tell you the consequences of not making that decision now, and they try and kind of, you know, lay it on thick and just pile on the pressure. And you know, if the minute you say to them, look, I'm going to wait until I have peace about this, and if they keep on putting the pressure on, then you know it's like a real red flag.
Yeah, don't do it.
Or if they react badly like this person did, you know, and for all we know, the reason why we didn't have peace about going to that appointment might have been nothing to do with them.
Right.
But
the
minute, the minute they start manifesting, it's like, oh, now I know why I'm not going to go and visit you.
I tell people, you know, especially big decisions, sleep on it. Don't be pressured. Yeah. Don't let people pressure you. Oh, if you don't buy this you're going to miss out. Or if you don't make a decision now, you're going to miss out. Yeah, that can be the case sometimes. But I would rather take a step back and wait. I can tell you, I've had more regret from things I've rushed into than things I've waited. There's other fish in the sea. There's other things, other opportunities out there. If I haven't got peace, I'd rather wait, sleep on it. I always sleep on big decisions. You know, if you're going to make a big decision, sleep on it, and you'll feel different in the morning. But I tell people, don't get pressured into it. If you don't have peace, certainly don't make a decision outside of peace.
Yep.
The third thing I got here, is it you? We're talking about when you hear God's voice, when you think God's speaking to you, some of the questions you can ask yourself to know whether it's you or not. You can ask yourself, does it line up with Scripture? God will never speak and give you a word that's outside, that's contradictory to Scripture, that contradicts His word. He will never contradict His word. Do you have spiritual peace? If you don't have peace, don't move. And if you have a check in your spirit, if you're unsettled about it, if you don't have peace, then don't make that decision. The third thing I've got, is it just you? Is it your desires, your thoughts, your emotions? Is it just something you want to do? Is it something you've made up? And sometimes one of the things I do is I trace my thoughts. You know, you have a teaching called Daisy Chains and Dynamite.
Yep.
Talking about our thought life, daisy chains and dynamite. Most thoughts are like daisy chains, right? They're connected. And you have one thought, you're here thinking, oh, I wonder what's for lunch. And then you start thinking, oh, I'd like to try that new restaurant out. And you start thinking, well, that's the other side of town. Well, if I'm going to go to the other side of town, I think I'll go and visit so-and-so. I'm thinking about John at the moment. And the reason why you're thinking about John is because he lives by that restaurant that you're going to try out, and you can trace the thought back. But if all of a sudden, especially if you're praying, or just all of a sudden John comes to mind, it's like a thought from nowhere, I need to call John and see how he is. So I think you can trace, a lot of time you can trace your thoughts back, whether it's the Holy Spirit just gives you a thought, or whether you've just been thinking naturally in your soul, in your flesh, if you like.
And the thoughts that are inspired by the Holy Spirit always lead to fruit.
Come on,
okay? They lead to fruit, and they lead to life, and they lead to moving forward, and they progress. But you know, thoughts that are just of the flesh or even a distraction from the enemy, they will literally get you going around in circles.
Come on,
you make a decision, you go back on it, you make a decision, you go back on it, that indecision, okay? And so you know that pattern of thinking, that any pattern of thinking that causes you to be really unstable, James says it's like a man that's tossed around, right? Yep. That he is double-minded, he becomes unstable in all of his ways.
That man think he'll receive anything. Right. He won't receive anything.
And it's back and forth. Really because the word of God is in our anchor. When the word of God is our anchor, we're going to really avoid some of that indecisiveness when it comes to decision making, and those thoughts that go around and around and don't really ever produce any fruit out
That's
of it.
That's so good, Kai. Mm-hmm. So good. The fourth one I've got here is it life altering? So what God is speaking to you, or what you think you're hearing from God, when you act on that, is it life-altering? If it's a life-altering decision, then here's some extra things. The first thing you do is you can ask God for confirmation.
Yep.
We're not talking about fleece, you know, like Gideon's fleece. We looked at that before. We don't need Gideon's fleece because we're new covenant believers. But you can ask God for confirmation. You can say, Lord, I'm going to need some confirmation about that. Can you give me a scripture? Can you give me a word? Can you confirm this, please? And pray. And I've prayed and said, Lord, this is a big decision. Can you confirm this? And then I've had people like a prophet give me a word, or I've gone to church and someone's given me a word and someone said something to me. I've been like, this is confirmation. They're already confirming something the Lord's already speaking to me about.
Yeah, and the first thing I do is, Lord, show me in the word.
Yeah.
Show me the word.
Me scripture.
And I'll pray in tongues until I get a scripture that comes to me, and the Lord will confirm his word to you with his word.
So good.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, so we're talking about if it's life altering, okay? If it's life altering, ask the Lord for confirmation. He is gracious, mm-hmm. He's merciful, He's patient with us, He's long suffering. Mm-hmm. You say, Lord, this is a big decision. I'm not sure. I really want to be sure. Can you give me a confirmation? And that could be a scripture, that could be someone giving you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Don't tell people and see what happens.
Yeah,
and pray
that kind of manipulates the situation.
Yeah, don't tell people and watch what happens. But ask for a confirmation. The Lord will confirm it to you, I believe. And the second thing I believe you can do if it's life altering is you could seek counsel. You could seek godly counsel. I've got here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, it says, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. In the multitude of counsel, there is safety. Now, here's what I'm not saying. Don't run around telling everyone and poll their opinions and make the decisions like based on voting and based on the most popular decision. That's not what I'm telling you to do. What I'm telling you to do is take what you think the Lord's spoken to you. You're pretty sure it's God. Okay, by this point, you're pretty sure it's God. You're pretty sure you're going to make this decision, but you need just to seek some wise counsel on it and ask the advice maybe one or two people that are spiritually mature or more spiritually mature than you and have got your best interest at heart.
And can have a neutral stance.
Yeah, okay? Someone who's got not vested interest
in it. Because, it's like any kind of poll. People bring up all these statistics, right? And it really turns out that they only polled a small group of people that they knew would all agree with them.
Yeah.
Okay, so make sure the people that you're asking for wise counsel have their spiritual maturity to be able to hear God, have your best interests at heart, but also aren't just going to side with you because they're your chum.
Because they love you they've got vested interest in it. They're like, should I come and work for you? And you're asking your potential new boss. Yes, don't do that. Ask people that are outside the situation if possible, but definitely people that are more spiritually mature than you. You should have someone in your life. If you haven't, pray for someone in your life that is more spiritually mature than you, that's been there a little bit further, that's been up the road a little bit further. If we was taking a journey, we live in Colorado Springs here, so our interstate or our motorway, as we call them in England, is I-25, Interstate 25. If I was to drive up an hour up I-25 and I come across a wreck, or maybe it was closed because of snow and my friend hadn't left yet, I could tell him, hey, don't leave, go a different way. Not because I'm better than him,
I'm just
a little bit further down the road in that area. If it's parental advice, maybe it's someone who's got older kids who aren't crazy. If it's financial advice, maybe it's someone who's prosperous and actually prospering financially.
Have some fruit in the area that you're questioning.
Yeah, if it's marriage advice, someone who's got a successful marriage and actually loves each other, and their wife smiles and things like that. Okay. Ask people. Their wife looks happy. Ask people who've actually got
happy spouse.
Yeah, it's people that got success in that area. When we was raising our kids, I'd look for people who had kids older than us that were serving the Lord, and I'd ask them advice, and they gave us advice. So find people, and if it's something, a particular decision, ask someone, if you haven't got a mentor, ask someone who's further up the road from you and ask them their honest opinion. Don't say this to them. Don't say, the Lord's told me to move to this town. What do you think? Because you've just played the God card. You need to say something like, I'm thinking about possibly moving to this town. What do you think? And ask for their opinion.
Or it's time to make a move.
It's time to make a move. What do you think? And ask their opinion. I know we did this when we left Andrew Roman Ministries. That was a very, very big monumental decision. We probably had half a dozen, life-changing decisions that we've had to make in our life. Maybe a dozen life-changing decisions. That was one of them. And I remember phoning our pastors, Pastor Barbara and Nelson Perdue. Mm-hmm. And Barbara was the one who said, that is God. Now, she's not got, there's no dog in the fight for her.
No.
At all, whatever I did, and she loved us from the outside. She was close enough to know what was going on, but she had no dog in the fight. She wasn't vested interest or anything. She said, that is God. And God had already, I was already 99% there anyway. I just needed that confirmation. So if it's life altering, seek confirmation.
And get into agreement. There's power in unity. So in the context of marriage, we are talking about hearing from God and peace as well. And just with me and Ashley in our marriage, when it's come to big decisions, There's been times where one of us has been utterly convinced mm-hmm. and the other one hasn't. And we've just decided we're going to wait to move
until
we're both on the same page.
Amen.
And both have come to a position of peace, regardless of the direction that we're moving in. We're not going to make a move. We value the peace and the unity in our marriage above even the decision. And sometimes, you know what? Your conscience, your mind, your people around you will tell you, oh, you're going to miss out on an opportunity. Right. I would rather risk missing out on an opportunity or delaying stepping into the plan of God, because I know that God's bigger than even our mistakes.
Yeah.
And there's a greater blessing on our marriage before what we ever do for God.
Come on.
This is really
Amen.
Important.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes people run ahead and want to make a decision because they've got their priorities out of whack.
Yeah. It's God first.
Right.
Then your family or your marriage. God, marriage, then ministry. And for me, it's God, my family, which is Carly first, and then our three children, and then ministry. Ministry is third place to my relationship with God and my family, and you know, my immediate family. And a lot of time people can think that's a bit out of line. No, I'm not saying that God is my number one priority. Mm-hmm. And if God tells you to do it, I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. And I know you feel the same. God is number one priority, but God is not our ministry. Okay, really, God is, we minister to the Lord, and we minister to our family, and then we minister to others.
That's really true. And you know, your relationship with God is different from what you might do for God.
Come
understand
on, Carly,
that He loves you because He loves you,
Amen.
Not because of what you can do for Him,
Amen.
Right? And so I think it's easy for us to confuse servitude, doing things for God or in the name of the Lord, rather than just being a child of God.
So good.
Okay, so being a child of God comes before ministry or before work or serving at the church or anything else.
It's really good. Amen. So that's a word for someone. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So
I'll set you free.
So four things to look at real quickly. Remember, if God's speaking to you, does it line up with the word? God will never mm-hmm. contradict His word. Have you got spiritual peace? Okay, is it just you or is it God speaking? And is it life-altering? If it is life-altering, then seek a confirmation and maybe seek godly counsel mm-hmm. is some of the things I've got here. The next part I've got to this is acting on God's voice. So once God speaks to us, we have to act. You know, James 1 talks about don't be hearers of the word, but be doers also. And James 2 verse 22 says that if you have faith but without works, or faith without corresponding actions, mm-hmm. it's dead. So we have to act. When God speaks to us, we have to act, praise the Lord. So here's a few points I've got here, is acting on God's voice. Then we're going to take your questions. So if you've got questions, write questions here, and we're going to take your questions in a minute. So the first thing I've got here is it takes faith. It takes faith to act on God's voice. It takes faith to be obedient to God. It takes faith to listen to God's voice, hear His voice, and then act on it. It takes mm-hmm. faith to do that. I'm just telling you, it's while we're living on this earth, it's never not going to take faith. That's bad English, isn't it? But it's not. It's always going to take faith to act on God's voice.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you know, it's never going to be a something that's so simple that you don't. It's going to take faith to act mm-hmm. on God's voice. I tell people, you know, I never know 100% to afterwards. I could tell you, God told me to emigrate to America. God told me to leave the, you know, start our own ministry. God told me to do these things, and I could tell you, God told me, I'm 100% convinced. After the fact.
Yeah.
But when it's up until the time of making the decision,
it's a process.
I could be 90% sure, I could mm-hmm. be 99% sure, but I'm never 100% sure. I mean, one time I was in a church service, in a conference, and I felt the Lord tell me to offer to match the offering that night. So I said to Carly, I think the Lord's told me that we should match the offering, you know, $10,000, whatever is going to come in. I think the Lord's told me to match the offering. And Carly said, are you sure? And I said, I'm about 90% sure. She said, that's good enough for me. Well, it turned out, isn't it, that led into other things.
It's good enough. I like those
odds. That was definitely, what happened that night was supernatural.
Guess what, the devil doesn't tempt you to give.
The devil doesn't tempt you to give. And what happened in that conference was supernatural. There was another speaker there with a mega church. Anyway, it's a long story, but basically what happened there was that act of giving, that obedience that we both had, actually led into other things. I tell people this, your giving can bring you things that money could never buy. And that night we was led into things that money couldn't have bought mm-hmm. because it was obedience. So anyway, I'm never 100% sure until after I've acted on it. After I've acted on it, I'm like, oh yeah, that was God, 100%. But going up to it, I just want to set some of you free, because some of you...
Preacher's license, isn't it?
Preacher's license. God told me to do this, God told me to do that. And you think that us preachers have got like a direct line to God. We haven't. We hear God the same way you do, by faith. It takes faith to hear God's voice. And there's things you can do to tune yourself into mm-hmm. God's voice. There is things you can do, but ultimately it's always going to take faith to act and be obedient on God's voice. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't take faith, it's probably not God. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take faith. And there's been a number of times in my life where, and you know, in John 6:33, I love this, in John 6:33 it says, because the thing is, it takes faith, because usually when it's God speaking and you're obedient to God, it doesn't make logical sense. It's not going to make logical sense. So because it doesn't make logical sense, it's going to take faith. I've got here in John 6 verse 33, it says, the flesh profits nothing. The flesh profits nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're listening to God's voice, when you're listening to the Spirit of God, the flesh doesn't profit anything. In fact, that's John 6:63, not 33. I thought that was wrong. John 6 verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, this is Jesus, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. God speaking things by his Spirit, and they're life-giving and they're life-changing, and they're for your prosperity, they're for your advancement, they're for your good, but they're spiritually discerned and you can't understand them logically. You can't understand them by the flesh. That's why it takes faith to act on them. It takes faith to act on them, praise God. Yep. The next thing I've got here is it takes practice. It takes practice. To actually act on God's word takes practice. If you don't practice acting on God's word, then you're not going to, you know, to practice being obedient to God, even in the small things. Even the small things, be obedient to God. Like I said, in James 1:22, it says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Otherwise, you deceive yourself. If you just hear the word of God, if you hear what God says to you and don't do it, you're deceiving yourself. So it takes practice. And otherwise, you'll be deceived. It takes practice. So be faithful in the little things. Luke 16, verse 10 says, be faithful in what is least, and then you'll be faithful in much. Be faithful in the little things. It's amazing. Be faithful in the little things. When you hear God's voice, act on it. Amen. When you hear God's voice, act on it. Practice in the little things. And God is always speaking to us. We said this in the first lesson. God is always speaking to us. His Spirit is speaking to us, spirit to spirit, all the time. He's speaking to us. It's up to us whether we're listening. It's up to us whether we're tuned in to his radio signal. It's up to us whether we're tuned in to that signal and we're hearing from him. So practice the presence of God. Practice listening to God.
Yep.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Be open to listening to God. Have that two-way communication all the time and be praying and let God speak to you. All the time. Yeah.
And this is really powerful. You know, even David, when he killed Goliath, before he ran at Goliath, he'd fought the lion and the bear first. Mm-hmm. And there's a process in this. There's a process in your relationship with God and in using the faith in your relationship with God, and hearing from God takes faith, right? And this whole process, you know, sometimes people, they want to hear God in the middle of the storm,
right,
but they're struggling because they haven't heard his still small voice before the storm even came along.
In the little things, in the day-to-day things.
In the day-to-day things. And so, you know, God, you can hear God in the storm. I mean, Jesus help me is a really powerful prayer, right? But this, we're talking here about an essential ingredient of the life of every believer.
Come on.
You know, this whole module is God's power within us, right? In order to operate in spiritual gifts, you need to hear God.
Yeah.
You need to be able to hear God. In order to make good decisions, you need to hear God.
Amen.
In order to stay in the place of peace and protection and avoid the pitfalls.
Come on.
You need to hear God, right? When the enemy attacks, you need to hear God.
Come on.
And this isn't just like for crisis moments. I think sometimes because life gets busy, we've all fallen into this trap where, you know, we're going on about our daily lives like, I got this, I can do this in my own strength. And then a crisis comes, it's like, oh my goodness, I need to hear God on this. Actually, you need to hear God all the time.
Come on.
All the time.
Come on.
Not just for the crisis moments, but in the everyday thing.
I
like to think about this like almost like a marriage relationship.
Yeah.
Right, our marriage would not be what it is today if the only time we spoke to each other was during a crisis, or when I needed something, or you needed something, or based on what we could do for each other, right? That would be a pretty poor relationship.
Yeah.
But now, it's every day.
We speak to each other when we have crises, when we have situations. Obviously, we're communicating and stuff. But really, where the relationship is built is in the day to day.
It's in the small.
It's in the small talks. In the day to day. It's in the smaller things. And that's why it's so important. For instance, to read the Word, be in the Word every day. It doesn't have to be revelation. It doesn't have to be like, wow, this is awesome. But you just get in the Word every day.
That's how you get
newsflash.
To know someone.
That's how you get newsflash. Okay, I'll just say it. Me and Carly spend time together. It's not always like, wow, that was awesome. That was the most amazing time we've ever had. But we have special times. Sometimes we'll have dates and we'll do things. And then we have special times on our own, which are awesome. And then we build memories and it's powerful and everything else. Maybe vacations, dates, meals, whatever. But then there's times where we're just hanging out. And it's not like, wow, this is awesome, but it's important because it's building relationship.
Yeah.
We enjoy it. So get in the Word, keep getting to know God's character, keep practicing God's presence, keep practicing hearing God's voice. I mean, one time it's a bit of a weird example to give, but I'll give it anyway. It just came to mind. But I remember one time I was in a restroom, public restroom. This is a bad example. I'm going to give it anyway. I was in a public, Carly gets nervous. That
I have no idea.
I was in a public restroom in England, and the person before me, it was a single stool, a single holer, and the person before me, this is TMI. Anyway, the person before me.
They left a mess on the seat.
Hadn't been the most cleanest of men, wasn't right. A great aim, okay? I'm sorry about this, ladies.
They weren't
but anyway,
quite on target.
So what men do, then the seat wasn't even up. So anyway, I went to leave, and I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, I mean, clear as day, clean that up. But it wasn't my mess.
Ew.
It wasn't my mess. It was like, clean that up. I was like, oh, no, Lord, no. But I knew, I was like, I think this is the Holy Spirit talking to me. I was like, and I tried to resist it at first. I was like, no, I know. Even in the little things.
And Ash is a bit of a germaphobe.
I'm a germaphobe. This is a big deal for me. So I beehive some toilet paper.
You know it's going to be gone.
I did the beehive, you know, when you get the wrapped around. Beehive the toilet paper. And I cleaned. And as I went, just before I did that, I was like, Lord, is this you? And I had this picture of this little boy, probably about 4 or 5 years old. It wasn't one of our sons. Little boy. And I was like, just had this picture flash in my mind. I was like, and the Lord was like, you know, you need to clean that up. I was like, yes, sir. So I cleaned it all up. I was like, yes, sir. See, I was obedient. I was listening
washed
to God's voice.
Washed your hands really,
washed
really
my hands,
well.
Scrubbed my hands. As I opened the bathroom door to leave, this little boy walked in who is exactly the boy I'd just seen in my picture, in my vision, if you like, my imagination, walked in and went into that stool. And his mum was outside, gave me a little smile, gave me a nod. And I was like, wow, God even cares about the hygiene and the safety of a 4 or 5 year old little child. Look at that. He had me clean that up so that boy didn't get in a mess. And I was like, that's how God wants to speak to us in the little things. Well, guess what happened? It was a short time after. I think it was just a few days after that. God spoke to me about something major. It was actually about leaving England, I believe. It was actually coming over here to America. God spoke to me major. Because I'd been practicing the little things, it was easier to hear him in the big things. Mm. So practice God's presence. When I was in that restroom, I remember I was just praying in tongues and just practicing God's presence. That's how I heard his voice. So practice God's presence. He wants to speak to us all the time. It takes practice to obey God's voice. It takes practice to obey God's voice.
And the more you do that, it's like a muscle, right?
Yeah.
The more you exercise that, the more natural and sharp.
Come on.
And accurate that hearing will become.
It does. And opposite to that, if you don't practice it, if you hear God and you don't act on it, if you hear as only and you're not doers, you deceive yourself, what happens is you actually harden your heart. You
become dull of hearing.
You become dull of hearing. You wax cold. You harden your heart to God's voice. And that's one of the reasons why people say, I can't hear God's voice, is because God has spoken to you, but you haven't obeyed it. Maybe God said to you, give into that offering, and you've said no, and now you've waxed your heart a little bit colder. Maybe God said to you, go and forgive that person and tell them you love them, and you're like, no, I'm not doing that. You've waxed your heart a little bit colder. Maybe God said to you, no, go and help that person. No, I don't want to do that. You've waxed a little bit colder. Be humble and go and tell them that you know, go and apologize. Wax a little colder. Every time you say no to God, every time you disobey God, you're waxing your heart colder. He still loves you.
Right.
God still loves you. Nothing's going to change, but you're going to find it harder to hear his voice clearer.
Right.
You're going to find it more difficult to hear his voice clearly. And it's so important to practice obeying God's voice.
So let me just ask you this question then. Maybe our viewers are watching this thinking, you know what, you're describing me.
Okay.
And I want to be able to hear God. Mm-hmm. So if I feel like I've waxed my heart cold, maybe because God's been speaking to me and I haven't been obedient, how can I start hearing God again?
Just repent. Just repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. And then from now on, make a commitment. If I think it's God, if I hear from God, I'm going to act on it. I'm going to obey you, Lord. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God desires your obedience more than sacrifice. We can sacrifice what we want, but God desires obedience. You know, 1 Corinthians 13 says, you know what? I can give everything I have to the poor, but if I have not love, then it's like a clanging cymbal. If we don't obey God, love is to obey God. And when we love something, you'll obey him, you'll listen to him, and you'll obey them. So I think you just repent and you say, God,
turn it around.
And help me and start believing God right now. Start reading his word, start praying in tongues, start getting ready to hear his voice. And it's really going to help you. Man, I have like a ton more to share.
Well,
so we're going to do a How to Hear God's Voice Part 3 next Power Academy, because I have literally, I'm only halfway through this lesson, and this is some good stuff. I've got some top tips on how to hear God's voice, how to tune yourself into his voice more clearly, hear his voice on a daily basis, how to test it, God's voice, all things. I've got a lot of stuff
actually,
here. So let's do this next week.
We have a whole teaching on this that people could get.
How to hear God's voice. That's
well,
on our website.
Really
and at the end of this live Power Academy Live, at the end of this, we'll give you a code and you can get everything in every piece of teaching material in our store 50% off as our thank you for joining us live. So we'll do How to Hear the Voice of God part. I wasn't planning on doing that, but I've realized there's so much to unpack.
You opened a can of worms.
There's so much to unpack. How to Hear the Voice of God part 3 next Power Academy in a couple of weeks' time. Carly, give me some questions. I hope the viewers were kind on the questions. Nothing too difficult.
No, nothing too difficult. Someone's asking here, what is the difference between the flesh and the spiritual piece.
The flesh and the spiritual, but the flesh piece.
Yeah, this is from Leanne.
That's a good question. The flesh piece, you should say, is more in your soul. So I believe your mind, will, and emotions mm-hmm. is your soul. And then your spirit is the inner you, the real you. The real you is a spirit and you possess a soul. So we call it flesh, but really your flesh doesn't have peace on it because your flesh is just your physical flesh.
That could be a rest, mm-hmm. a physical rest in your body.
Yeah.
That would be probably the peace that I'd find in my flesh.
Yeah, if it's right? in your flesh. But when you're talking mm-hmm. about like mental peace or emotional peace, that's in your soul. Mm. And you know, you can tell because spiritual peace is especially if you pray in the Holy Spirit, if you see yourself doing something, you can think about what does it feel like on the inside, your spiritual peace. Your emotions are often much more like worried about the circumstances. You're worried maybe about fear of man, what other people think, how am I going to pay the bills? Anytime there's a question that's questioning God's character, like how am I going to afford it? That's questioning mm-hmm. God's, whether he's going to provide for you or not. What are people going to think about? Well, that's not spiritual. Your spirit doesn't care about what people think about you. Your spirit doesn't care about how he's going to provide for you. Your spirit knows these things. If it starts to steal your joy, well, your spirit's always in joy. So that's not your spirit. So you can go through things and realize, you know, the fruit of the spirit, Galatians 5, 20, you can look at the fruit of the spirit and realize that's the fruit of your spirit. That's how your spirit receives peace. The other things, external things, it's your soul that's not at peace. And you know, it can be tricky sometimes. That's why we need the word of God, because the word of God actually divides between spirit and soul. The word of God divides between the heart and the flesh. So that's why we need the word of God to confirm it. But basically, inner peace, talking about spiritual peace, regardless of the circumstances, outward peace or soulish peace, if you like, is always going to be looking at the circumstances, looking at the consequences, looking at the results. Yep. Whereas spiritual peace doesn't worry about that because your spirit trusts in God 100%. So I hope that helps you.
Yep. J.H. Carlson is asking, how does God speak to us through our mind if our mind is not stayed on him continually? I struggle so much with keeping my thoughts on him.
That's really good, J.H. Carlson. You know, that's one of the things we have to do. You know, I believe it's Romans 8, verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6 is a great verse on this.
To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death.
Ba-bam, exactly. So to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So if we mm-hmm. if we keep our mind on the things of God, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death. So really, we do have to keep our minds on the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul talks about what we should be thinking on, what we should meditate on. Now, we think on natural things sometimes. We're going to have to think about how to put gas in the car and how to pay our rent and things like that. But our predominant thought, our main thought in our life, our focus, our vision, if you like, should be on things of the Lord.
It is.
That's really going to help us.
You know, he's asking, how does God speak to us if our mind isn't stayed in the Lord? You know mm-hmm. what? The Lord is so desperate to get your Come attention on. That he'll use whatever is around you to speak to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been through in this lesson, as she's mentioned, some of the different ways that God speaks to us. So I'd say things like circumstances.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe when you're reading the Word of God, something will just kind of hit you. There'll be that inner witness. Maybe he'll use somebody else, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom from another person to come talk to you. You know, the audible voice of God. You know, we're talking here about hearing from God. God speaks to us through different ways. And, you know, mature believers predominantly hear God through the inner voice, a still small voice on the inside, through hearing from the Holy Spirit. But, you know, if you're not born again or if you're a new believer, you know, it's more common for God to use those outward circumstances to speak to you than because you haven't yet tuned in or learned, your ability isn't refined yet on how to hear God necessarily for yourself. So more so as you start out your walk with the Lord, or if somebody is just kind of little, we'd say backslidden, right? They haven't really been in the Word. They haven't really been developing their relationship, their hearing ear for the Lord. He's more likely to speak to them through outward circumstances to get your attention. He'll get your attention.
Yeah, right? So if you're not in the Word, you're not praying in the Spirit, you haven't got your mind stayed on him, like mm-hmm. you're saying, then he's going to have to use outward things to come across your path.
But he's always speaking to you.
I've had that. When I got born again, God actually had to speak to me through an audible voice because I couldn't hear him any other way. And then later on in life, when I backslid for a little bit, I was listening to a secular song on the radio, and mm-hmm. that secular song just spoke to me powerfully, hit me. God was using these things. I've had dreams and things like that where God had to speak to me because I wasn't in the Word and I wasn't in the Spirit.
So dreams are a great way, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, some people get more dreams than other people. I dream quite a lot. But, you know, if you're open to it as well, and God can interject in a dream when your conscious mind isn't really doing very much.
Right, yeah. Right?
So there are ways he'll get to you.
These are good questions.
Yeah, these are great questions.
Good
Taylor's
questions.
Asking a question. Does God want us to remain physically weak so that we are more dependent on him? And can I be just as dependent on him once I'm stronger? This is a really
That's a huge question.
This is a really huge question, Taylor. I'm really glad that you asked this, mm-hmm. okay? God doesn't want us to remain physically weak,
Amen.
Right? That's
Come
why he says in 3 John 2, Beloved, I wish above all things that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul
Come
prospers.
Come on, amen.
Right? And so, you know, yes, we in our weakness, Christ is made strong, you know, but here's the fact. Our flesh is never going to be strong. You know, in the flesh, our natural man, our natural mind, our flesh is always going to be weak. It doesn't, yep. Our flesh doesn't get any better. Our flesh is always going to be there, right?
Right.
But the part of us that is strong is our spirit.
Come on.
And you know, if you go back, it will really help you answer this question better. Go back to module one and rewatch the first couple of lessons of module one. We are a spirit, soul, and a body,
right?
And this answers that. We've got a few questions about this as well. Okay, J.H. Carlson is asking, as I am in this world, how is this possible? It's because we are a spirit, soul, and body.
Yep.
And our flesh is always going to be weak. Our flesh doesn't get any better. But you know what? We're never by ourselves. And the Hebrews 13:5, right?
Yep, Hebrews 13:5,
okay.
Yep.
And he's never going to leave us or forsake
Amen.
Us. In Christ, we are strong.
Come on.
In Philippians, it says, I can do all things
Amen.
Through Christ who strengthens me.
4:13,
right?
Amen.
It's not our flesh that becomes strong. It's our. It's the soul part of us. Our
Amen.
Mind starts to become renewed. It starts to understand who we really are in the spirit. That's the part of us that becomes strong.
Come on.
And, you know, it's in Romans 8:37, it says, we are more than conquerors
yep.
through Christ.
Amen.
You know, God is not trying to humble us by keeping us weak
Come on.
So that we need him more.
Right.
We need him whether we know we need him or not.
Come on.
Right? But we become strong in our understanding of our identity.
Yeah.
And as we renew our mind to the word of God, that's where the strength is at. That's
so good.
God is getting the glory. So
Amen.
Can I be just as dependent on him once I'm stronger? You are always going to be dependent. Let me tell you, you are never going to come to a point in your life where you don't need Jesus.
Come on.
Ever.
Always
Actually,
need Jesus. Amen.
The stronger that you become, the more understanding that you have in the word of God, the more you realize how much you need God, not the opposite. Kristen McNulty says, what if your spouse does not know or is not following God? Does that mean that you don't do ministry?
Okay, no, you can still minister. Of course
yeah.
you can. So, but remember, I would put the spousal relationship before my ministry, but you can still minister. And I know lots of people, I know lots of men who are ministering and their wives aren't ministering with them or aren't even that much in agreement with them mm-hmm. and vice versa. So I believe you can still minister and you can still minister to people and reach out to people. But your first ministry is to God.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 13 said they ministered to the Lord. So your first ministry is to God, spending time with him and ministering to the Lord. And your second ministry is your spouse and your family.
Yep.
And then your third ministry in that order is ministry to other people. So you minister to God, you minister to your family, then you minister to other people. And you keep it in that order, you can minister a lot on
yeah,
your own
you
without having to have your spouse's backup or your spouse's agreement.
And your ministry to other people, which is probably where this question is coming from,
mm-hmm.
is going to look different.
Yeah.
Okay? It's going to look different. But there is a blessing and there is opportunity and there is honor when we follow those priorities.
Yeah.
Ministry to God,
Amen.
Ministry to our spouse, ministry to our kids. And as we do those things, that in itself is a testimony.
So
maybe
good.
You're in a situation where your husband is like a young believer, not particularly spiritually mature or not even a believer at all. You know, as you minister, as you love on your spouse, that becomes a testimony. That starts to soften their heart. That starts to open up the door of opportunity.
Amen.
The more that we love God, the more that we're able to love our spouse.
Yeah.
And as we do that, you know, it's the goodness of God that causes man to repentance.
Amen.
And that in itself opens doors of opportunity and softens people's hearts. Say,
yeah,
you know, why don't you go and minister to those people, it makes everything function as
yeah,
it should.
It really does. And you know, I know with the internet now, with blogs and vlogs and all these types of things, you can minister right from your home, you can minister and still keep the other things in priority. So I want to encourage you, Kristen, keep ministering. It's awesome.
Yep, absolutely.
Good, praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for this Power Academy podcast. Be sure to join our e-learning platform where you'll have access to lessons, detailed notes, and quizzes that empower you to switch on your faith. Enroll for free at learn.terradezministries.com.